turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and as someone commented in the scriptures, "No man spake like this man." But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have some people who like to talk about the kingdom of God, but they never talk about his righteousness. Yes, we need to be covered in Jesus's righteousness through his precious shed blood. But along with that, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in our lives, God wants us to be all about right living, doing the right thing. And so if you want to be all about the kingdom of God, take a moment right now and ask yourself, what can I get right now? What can I do to make things right with my mother, my father, my husband, my wife, my children? What can I do to resolve a negative issue that I have caused? A bill that I have not paid? What can I do to make it right, even though I may not have the money? What can I do to stop a certain sin in my life? So when you think about the kingdom of God from now on, always think about his righteousness, because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. His righteousness, his holiness. No doubt you're in trouble right now in your life because of sin. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you are in trouble big time, because you're on your way to hell because of your sin. Many of us are in trouble and we have problems and difficulties in our lives. They're not trials brought about by God to test us. They are no doubt us reaping what we have sown. And so we all can think of something we can get right. Do you have any compunction about anything in your life? How about your stinking attitude? How about your hypocrisy? You can smile in the face of some, but you can't smile and laugh with others. How about your stinking gossip? How that you love to gossip about people in the church. You love to gossip about people outside of the church. You love secretly in your wicked heart to see people fail. You can't be happy and thankful for how God has blessed somebody else because of their faithfulness and obedience. I believe with all of my heart, I've said it before and I'll say it again, one of the marks of a saved person, if they have been saved for a while, is that they have the uncanny ability to be happy for somebody else in the household of faith who is doing well, and God has given certain privileges because of their obedience and faithfulness, and at the same time recognizing that they have not been obedient and faithful, and that's one of the reasons why God has not taken them up a little bit higher, but still they can rejoice with the blessings that God has bestowed upon others. That's a mark of being truly saved and born again, and I'm talking about this is genuine and this is real. If you're envious and jealous of other Christians, there's something wrong somewhere, and you're not practicing righteousness. You're not practicing right living. If you're motivated by envy, and jealousy. And you're mad at God, like the big brother in the prodigal son story. Like Peter, when he told Jesus, "What about this one?" Talking about John, who at least considered himself the beloved son, the beloved apostle. I don't recall Jesus ever saying he was the special apostle or beloved apostle. I don't know about all of that, John. But Peter expressed some envy. You're talking about me dying, Lord, and being crucified upside down. And what about this one? You're not practicing right living when you can't be happy for other people. Amen, somebody. It's not time to pray, so don't bow your head yet. I haven't even started preaching. Your heart is not right when you cannot be happy for other Christians that God has blessed. You know you don't deserve what they have. Can you give God praise for how God has honored and blessed another brother or another sister? She's married and has 3 children. And you still trying to find your Boaz. God has not given you a Boaz because you're not ready for a Boaz. God knows that when he sends a good Boaz, Derek Boaz, by, you spend up all this money and then threaten to take the children and get a divorce and take all his money, his house and everything, and then all other kinds of other ungodliness. You're not ready for a Boaz, nor are you ready for children. Be happy for that sister. Go to the wedding with a genuine smile. Oh, don't go at all. God bless you. Lord, you know I haven't even finished reading the scriptures yet. Help me. Take therefore, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I told some folks just a little while ago this was going to be a special service because the devil is mad, and I'm glad. Had a tremendous turnout yesterday and on Saturday as well, and God blessed tremendously. And whenever that happens, the devil gets very angry. Every preacher who's worth his salt knows what I'm talking about. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Holy Father God, I am so excited about being here this evening. In fact, I'm ecstatic. I don't know why I am overly joyed about being here. But we can say with Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it is good for us all to be here. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you did on yesterday. Help us never to forget it. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you've done. You did all last week, the first week of the first leg of this 100-day journey of preaching the gospel, preaching your holy word. And thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the mind to do it. And thank you for drawing hundreds, Lord, from around the world to be with us. Thank you for all of the great prayer requests that people send in and all of the notes and things we get. Thank you, Lord, for the staff that puts it all together. Lord, help them, give them your grace and strength to do it and do it right and do it well. And for your glory, praise, and honor. Have mercy and grace upon us all who are Christians, believers. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace. Forgive those who have sinned against us. Fill us afresh and anew with the power and the fullness and the anointing and the unction of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for doing it already. And Lord, I feel your presence in a very special way. And thank you for showing up and showing out and rebuking the devil and his demons and his hosts and his Judases and his Sanballats and Tobiases. They've all together tried to stop me from preaching the gospel over the past 40 years, and especially over the past 30 years. Lord, unfortunately, contrary to what people want to hear in our evangelical circles, I have enemies in my own family. I have Judases that surround me, Sanballats and Tobiases, and a few Alexander the coppersmith, Alexanders the coppersmith around me as well. One Demas and one Demetrius. One Demas is enough, one Demetrius is enough, but they're all around as they were around Paul, as they were around most of all you, Lord Jesus. So Lord, rebuke, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke these enemies of the cross. Lord, open their blinded eyes and help them to see the damage that they're doing to themselves and how that they're being used by the devil to keep the gospel from the ears of those who need it the most. Help them to see how that the devil is raging mad because I have the audacity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day. And Lord, it appears to me, it seems to me, that you put in my spirit today to do this until the day I die, or until the day the rapture takes place. For Lord, if Quincy Jones can work almost 24 hours a day for 30 years, 40 years, to produce oftentimes ungodly music, Lord, certainly I can serve you every day and preach the gospel every day. And I pray for the salvation of Quincy Jones. What a talent. What talent you gave that man. He is the Bach, he is the Beethoven of our times, Lord, but he's lost and on his way to hell, believing in astrology. And so, Lord, we pray for his eternal soul and rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from his mind, his many wives and children. Lord, have your Holy Spirit to not give that family rest until they come to know your Savior. Help him to produce the greatest gospel album ever before he dies, for he will be leaving us soon. And Lord, if you would give me the opportunity to witness to him personally, I'd be glad to do it. But Lord, there are many other preachers that surround him out there in California who can reach him, and who maybe have even a connection, maybe a Tony Evans, maybe a T.D. Jakes, maybe a Franklin Graham. Somebody can go by and witness to this great man that you made great. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit to work mightily on his heart, that he would receive the gospel, trust Christ as Savior, before he goes off into hell. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do that for everybody under the sound of my voice, everywhere. And Lord, as you know, I'm just about to burst. I don't even see how I'm going to get through this message. I'm about to explode with your joy, your peace, your happiness. I'm beyond excited, beyond ecstatic. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for the privilege to be a small part of your grand evangelistic enterprise. Lord, I pray that over 3 million souls will be saved through the preaching of the gospel from this lowly pulpit. And I pray that over 3 million Christians will be revived again. Some are listening right now in their new cars that have podcast capabilities. Some on a treadmill, some are in India, some are in Nigeria, some are in Kenya. Some are in the Philippines, some are in China. Some are in Russia, some are in Great Britain, listening to me right now live. And we thank you for all of these people. And Lord, I thank you for my son Daniel Ezekiel, named after two prophets. Right now he's not acting like two prophets, not even one prophet, but he does a good job in handling three cameras going out of here all by himself. And we have other streaming things going out done by others, and the main camera. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work mightily, and that the message would get through clearly through all of the pipes and cables under the oceans and in the sky. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, for we're nothing without you. And so save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. R.C. Sproul said, "We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand or even difficult to do, not so much because it is dull and boring, it is not, but because it is oftentimes work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of understanding or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. We do not want to read the Word of God. We don't want to think about the Word of God. We don't want to meditate on the Word of God. And we don't want to study the Word of God. And God wants us to do all of that. Amen, somebody." And by the way, I would venture to say, if you're depressed, disgusted, defeated, full of despair, and down in the dumps, is because you refuse to think on the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, study the Word of God, read the Word of God, hide the Word of God in your heart. And instead of being filled with the Word of God, you fill with the devil and evil and selfishness and stubbornness and foolishness and sin. So what else ought we to do to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? We have talked about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness by thinking. And by the way, now remember, the kingdom of God and His righteousness go together, is both and, it's not separate. You cannot speak about the kingdom of God without speaking about His righteousness covering you through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're practicing righteous or right righteousness or right living, doing, in the words of Spike Lee, doing the right thing. Are you doing the right thing? Do you have the right mentality? Do you have the right attitude? Are you doing right by God? Are you doing right by your children? Are you doing right by your husband? Are you doing right by your wife? Are you doing right regarding giving to God and your money and paying your just bills and debts? Or are you trying to cause confusion? about any of those things instead of being a blessing. So we have talked about seeking the kingdom of God by thinking on the things of God and His righteousness, and meditating on the things of God and His righteousness. What's wrong with Christianity today is we think about the kingdom of God and we talk about the kingdom of God, but we never think about and we never talk about His righteousness. Isn't that interesting? The devil has slipped some Christians a Mickey. The devil has fooled some folk. I'm sure you heard the illustration about the frog being boiled to death, slowly but surely. And that's how so many of us are as Christians. We make a big deal about the kingdom of God. Thousands of books are written about the kingdom of God. No mention of the righteousness of God. You have been boiled to death by the devil. And you think you're doing something. You think you're proclaiming something. And your church is full of evil and sin and rebelliousness. And you're the grand poopah who just allows it all to happen, and you just manage it. And you wait for complete, total destruction and failure to happen to the families in your church so that you can run in and be the hero pastor or pastor's wife and try to solve the problem when you could have prevented the problem in the first place by talking about and preaching on not only the kingdom of God, but the righteousness of God. Telling some husbands and wives to their faces, grow up. No, I'm not going to sanction your divorce. I know that's why you came in here. You, sir, are acting like a child. You, ma'am, you're acting like a child. You have four little beautiful children who need you. And I have seen over and over again people who divorce and separate, and basically God says, okay, you don't want my beautiful children that I gave you to raise? I'll raise them myself. And He'll take two from you and take them back to heaven. Don't tell me God has not done it. He has. He has done it as sure as I'm black and my last name is White. Oh, but you'll come back together then. Yes, sir, buddy. You'll be at that funeral together, crying and not only together, sitting together. And you won't even have your little boyfriend and girlfriend with you. You know, no. Y'all be hugging each other. And, oh, honey, what have we done? I'll tell you what you have done. You have been deceived by the devil, talking and shouting about the kingdom of God, but ignoring His righteousness, His holiness that He wants in your life. That says, you know what, I might want to get a divorce, but that's not an option because it's not going to be pleasing to God, who has already stated He hates divorce. Why jump out of the frying pan right into the doggone fire? Because that's what you're going to be jumping into. So seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness also involves not only those things, but reasoning. Jesus, the Lord said in Isaiah, come together, come and let us reason together. Think about things and let's look at some things. Let's study some things. Let's communicate. Reasoning is the action of thinking about something in a logical sensible way. By the way, one of the things that turned me on about God and Jesus and the Bible and salvation in the early years of getting saved many years ago was the fact that it all made sense to me. It was logical to me. So reasoning is the action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way. That's why I preach on purpose the way I do. You're not going to hear me do sing-song preaching and hooping or whooping or whatever you call it. I heard all of that from the Baptist side and the Pentecostal side while growing up. It never made sense to me. I went to sleep on it. I thought it was a bunch of gooberdygook and it didn't make any sense. And as I read the Bible after I got saved, Jesus never took the mic and ran down the mountain shouting and running. If he had done that, then they would have recorded that, because they recorded almost everything else he did. And I noticed that St. John and St. Peter, St. Paul, they never hauled off and ran down the aisle and shouted and was talking in some unknown language that nobody can understand but them. They said, they didn't hoop. Can you imagine Peter? Yeah. No. In the middle of the wheel. I'd rather heard the wheel in the middle of the wheel 10,000 times while growing up. People hooping and hollering and everybody going to hell. It's entertainment. I preach the way I preach because I believe this is how Jesus preached. This is how Paul preached. This is how Peter preached, where you can understand what I'm saying. You say, "Preacher, it sounds like you're lecturing." Okay, whatever. Do you understand what I said? That if you don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. See, I never heard that growing up from the Baptist church or the Charismatic church. And I was in both. It was nothing for us to go to a Baptist church on a Sunday morning and be in a Charismatic church Sunday afternoon. And I promptly went to sleep on the preachers because they weren't preaching anything. A bunch of sing-song entertainment, trying to shout everybody out, trying to outdo each other. Even the praying was entertaining. Everybody knows, if you've been living 50 years or 60 years, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God a change has been wrought. So reasoning means to understand and form judgments by a process of logic. That's okay. I can hear some ignorant Christians saying right now, "We don't need no reasoning. We don't need no logic. I just bless God. I believe God." We're not talking about all that, man. You ought to believe in God, but please. The Lord said, "Come and let us reason together." All God is saying to you, if you come to me, I'll make sense to you. And if you're still struggling, I'll make it even clearer to you. Reasoning is about things being clear. I'm not here to impress you. I want clarity. I want to be clear about what I'm saying from the Word of God. So that when you leave here today, wherever you are in the world, you will understand the message. You may not come back, but you will understand what I said. I can assure you that. And so, beloved, reasoning involves vigorous, systematic study of the things that God has revealed to us in His Word. Yes, God not only wants you to think on His Word and meditate on His Word, but He wants you to study His Word. It is through the Word of God that we will learn about the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and how we ought to live as citizens of that kingdom in the foreign land of this world of woe. Studying the Word of God is a lifelong process. You will never exhaust the Word of God, dear friend. I don't care how scholarly you may think you are. I assure you that if you're reading the Bible right, every time you read it, you'll see something new and powerful and in a different way. That's why it is important to go to a good Bible-believing local church. Because there's power in that they're preaching. It may be some feeble and poor preaching, but I assure you, if you go and get under it, God will do something in your heart through the foolishness of preaching. It is more important, ladies and gentlemen, than any secular education that you will ever receive. I don't care if you read Shakespeare. I don't care if you learned about Bach. Quincy Jones told the story that prompted him to help Michael Jackson make the biggest album in the history of the world. Quincy Adams said, Michael Jordan was calling himself, quoting Socrates. That's what Michael Jordan, every time he said it, he would say Socrates. And so Quincy Jones did not correct him. You know, he was Michael Jackson, you know, and very sensitive. And Dinah Ross, who was like a mother to Michael Jackson, she didn't correct him. She just let it go. But he kept on saying Socrates. And quoting Socrates said this, Socrates said that. You know, he had not really gone to a formal school. And he was very gifted, but not very educated at the time. And so finally Quincy Jones said, man, these are good quotes that you are saying, but the man's name is Socrates. He said, Michael Jordan, with a very innocent look on him, oh, really? He said, yeah, man, the man's name is Socrates, not Socrates. Nobody knows what you're talking about. And that moment, see, this is why people, if you will, allow me, you need to understand that time and chance happeneth to us all. You need to be in the right place at the right time. Quincy Jones saw that this young man was gifted and very innocent. And he had, Michael Jackson had asked Quincy Jones, could you please find somebody to produce my first solo album? And Quincy was not going to do it. He was too busy with other things. He was producing Frank Sinatra and doing big old band things and traveling all over the world. He didn't want to deal with a youngster like Michael Jackson. But because of that mispronunciation, he saw such a purity there, an innocence and an ignorance He said, you know what, I'm going to help you. I'll produce the album myself. And the rest is history. They went on to produce Thriller, the biggest selling album to this day in the history of the world. But my point is, knowledge and education is not the most important thing in life. The knowledge of God, being humble, having faith in God, and reading and meditating on and studying the Word of God. In fact, I will say, I thank God for the education I have. I thank God I can pull up things without having to look them up because of my education and my background. I thank God I have a broad understanding of things and I can preach to anybody because of my education and all of that. But I'm here to tell you, you can read the Bible every day for the rest of your life and read nothing else. And you'll be the most educated person in the world. That's all you need is the Bible. I believe that with all my heart. The education of this world will only equip you to live for the 70 or so years that you might be here. But the study of God's Word will equip you to live for all eternity, in this life and the life to come. Without it, you'll be a failure in this life, and you may not make it to the life to come. Studying the Word of God also helps us keep our minds on the things of God and off of temporal things. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed. There are many great resources at your disposal today, by the way. If you have a computer hooked up to the internet, my dear friend, you have all you need to learn the Word of God. These things will aid you in systematic, as they call it, study of Holy Scripture. There are many Bible teachers who have written books on how to study the Bible. However, the most important resource, if you will, is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you the Holy Word of God. And at the right time, He will bring it back up to you when you need it. The Holy Spirit of God, our teacher, who inspired the writing of Holy Scripture, is the greatest teacher of the Holy Scriptures. And you will not learn the Holy Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. That's why it's good to pray before you read the Bible. In fact, you better pray before you read the Bible. You won't get it. And the main thing you better have before you read the Bible is salvation. I did not understand the Bible before I got saved. Studying the Bible unsaved is futile. You don't have the help you need. You don't have the main teacher, the Holy Spirit of God. So you must be born again. You must be saved. And dear friend, as you read, pray for the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate your mind to its truths so that you can apply them to your life. And then and only then you can try to help somebody else. Yes, you should read for encouragement, inspiration, and all of that good stuff. But you also should read for edification and to strengthen yourself by the grace of God in the Lord, so that you can withstand the withering satanic attacks against your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your soul. As one Christian writer wrote many years ago, I read his book, I didn't understand it. I understand it now. He wrote a book titled Calvary Road, and then he wrote a book titled No Easy Road. The Christian life, contrary to what the world will tell you, contrary to what the worldly Christians will tell you, contrary to what the prosperity gospel preacher will tell you, is not an easy road, my beloved. It's a tough road. But God will be with you all the way. The Bible instructs us that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's one of my memory verses, or hiding in your heart verses, when I was a young Christian. How embarrassing would it be for us if our Lord showed up ready to receive us into the kingdom, yet we only knew how to speak the language of this world, and we didn't even know what was happening. We didn't even know a rapture was coming. You're going to have folk like that going up in there. They got saved, but they didn't study their Bibles. And their arms stretched out like this, and what's going on? What's up? What's up with this? And it's going to take somebody who studied the Bible to say, man, we're in the rapture. Just chill out. What? The rapture? Where are we going? You haven't read about the rapture of the church, man? Nah, man. I like this ride, though. Let's keep this going. Let's not neglect the reading of the Word of God, thinking about the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, my beloved. And that's what's wrong with some of y'all today. You don't do any of that, and much less study the Bible. When was the last time you studied the Bible? Come on, let's be real. When was the last time you studied the Bible? I have digital Bibles now. I thought I would never get into that. I had a young man in a church that I was pastoring give me a digital Bible for a present. I said, man, oh boy, I took it, but I didn't use that. I didn't use it. I didn't like it. I didn't want to tap nothing. I just flipped the pages, man. Old fashioned. But I thank God for my Kindle. I can read the Bible any kind of way. iPad and all that, man, that's beautiful stuff. I love it. You say, well, those people in high tech are devils. Well, I thank God for these devils, because they so created some wonderful things. That iPad is genius. The iPhone, I saw a preacher, I would never do this. If you ever catch me preaching from an iPhone, please. Come and pull me down. I have lost my mind. I saw a preacher preach from an iPhone. Now, if that's all I had and I was called up to preach, I would have to do it. But I asked for a Bible. A man traveled all the way to Philadelphia, all the way to Baltimore, from Dallas, Texas. Got in the pulpit and pulled out his iPhone and started preaching. I said, wait a minute. Now, we're going too doggone far. You need something substantial. And you still ought to have your Bible. Right before me, I have my Bible, in case, like Pastor Cousins said, you better have your Bible with you, because your technology might run out and fall apart or something, and you won't be stuck. But I got my Bible and I have my Kindle right here, right there in front of me. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's read the Word of God. Let's think about it. Let's believe it. Let's meditate on it. Let's study it. And let's obey it, so that we can glorify God and live for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's always seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness by reasoning with the Lord according to His word. Edwin Hodder wrote, "Thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair, and everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Thy word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle day all needful weapons there." Pardon me. "Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mine. May its fragrant flowers gleam. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the old time religion. We need to go back to the old landmarks. We need to go back, as the name of one ministry reminds us, we need to go back to the Bible. And we need to pray over it. We need to think about it. We need to meditate on it. We need to love it. We need to cherish it. We need to reason with it. And we need to obey it. We need to live by it. And then we need to share it with others. And that's what I'm going to do with you right now. For those of you who are listening and you're not saved, you heard a little about Jesus and about what he said about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, dear friend, it's time for you to seek the Lord and be saved today. If you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To save your soul from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. So first accept the fact, dear friend, according to the Bible, you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's Ten Commandments, the law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always, you know it to be true. You have punishments of some kind for your children. We may be different from mine. You may tell little Johnny to sit in the corner. And I will tell little Johnny, you're getting ready to get your tail whipped. But whatever the case, you have punishment for your children when they do evil, when they do wrong. Even if you're not a saved person, you don't like evil. You don't like stealing. You don't like someone disrespecting you. And so the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We're going to be paid for our sins if we don't trust Christ as our Savior, because he's already paid the sin debt. And if we don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to understand, thirdly, that you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to an eternal hell right now. I know that's not popular. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts. I wish there were no hell, but there is. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, he preached on hell himself. He preached on hell because he loved people, and he loves people. And he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of eternal torment. Hell is a place of eternal punishment. That's how bad sin is. It may not be bad to you, but it's bad to God. God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. Hell is a place of an agonizing, everlasting memory. Remembering over and over again all of the opportunities you had to get saved, but you refused. And hell is eternal. Hell is forever. And that's the saddest aspect of hell. Once you go behind the gates of hell, the gates close, and you can never come back. So trust Christ as your Savior today. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. It's great news. Jesus Christ, the same one who preached on hell, the same one who said, "Repent or perish," said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. It's all by grace. All you have to do is have faith in him and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He suffered. He was beaten. He bled. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. His arms are open wide to receive you today. And all of your sins will be covered because of his shed blood on the cross. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God, and God poured all of our wickedness and our sin and evil on him. And all we have to do is believe in him. The sin debt has been paid. Your sin debt has been paid. Your sin debt has been paid. All you have to do is believe in the debt payer, Jesus Christ. Obviously, it does not matter how you feel, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The debt is still paid. I've had people to do things for me. I felt like I didn't deserve it. I felt like it was not even done. It was a dream. And they just had to reassure me that it's taken care of. You've had an experience like that, one or two in your life. When somebody just did something for you, just because they love you, they like you, they paid your debt, and they said it's all right. Well, that's what God has done for us. You can't work for this salvation. You can't pay any money. Not one dime will help you get this salvation. In fact, you don't have to give any money to the church at all to get saved. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. All you have to do is trust Christ as Savior. He paid your sin debt. He did all of the work. All you have to do is trust Christ and say thank you. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, for he will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a promise, that's a guarantee from the word of God. For whosoever, that means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black and white, no matter how other people may try to make you feel, don't you worry about that. You might not be in the right class. You might not be in the majority. You might have some issues that others don't have. God still loves you. If you're in this world, God loves you. You might be sitting in a wheelchair. God loves you. And he died. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul. That has been guaranteed by God. And if you are believing on Christ right now, if you want to believe on Christ, and you want to pray that sinner's prayer, I'll be glad to lead you in that sinner's prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a guarantee. That's a promise from God. You never have to worry about it again. So follow me in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and trust Christ as Savior in your heart, and believe in him that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins as the sacrificial lamb of God, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. And Peter and John and the disciples saw him. Mary Magdalene and the other Marys and sisters saw him. Over 500 brethren saw him after he rose from the dead. And they saw him ascend into heaven. And so believe on him today. Repeat after me, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your name in vain. I have lied many times before. I have coveted and lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. I've stolen things that don't belong to me. I have been disobedient. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And he was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Now, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all the best way I know how. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from all of my evil ways, and help me to follow you for the remainder of my life until I see you face to face. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you a glad congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society Jesus-Christ.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many outlets or email catchers, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And if you don't believe that, we have multiplied thousands of folks who will tell you that if you send us a prayer request, we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And God has answered many prayers for people around the world. And we give him the glory, praise, and honor. So we're here to pray for you and to lead you to Jesus. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.